Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. It is a beautiful Friday afternoon in East Tennessee. What a way to start the weekend. Hope you're doing well. I'm Russell Smith alongside Bear. Adam Hickman joining us in the Fan Run Pleasure Chamber this afternoon. Be that with sounds, you for the following 3 hours.
Sounds kind of...
I've been saying that all week. Have you not noticed until now?
Okay. I'm kind of out of it. So I don't know if you don't really notice it when I'm out of it, do you?
No, and what does that say? When are you into it? That would be really strange for me if I came in one day and I just
like
launched
laser
into
focused.
The show. Yeah, and Bear is just like on me. He's just
locked in.
Never asks what.
Could you repeat the question?
that would be more startling than
okay.
anything that's happened over the past couple of years.
No, I haven't noticed that, and that's quite frankly kind of you're making it weird. The pleasure chamber, is that what you called us?
Yeah, I'm workshopping it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Hickman?
I like it.
Oh, I guess it helped if I turned
wow.
on your mic.
Yeah,
no. Something's turned off down here.
All
Sorry.
Right. Brilliant start. Just throwing heat out of the gate. I thought I had it's a beautiful weekend. I thought I was going to play that up. We're going to have a really good A block today. And here we are, 2 minutes in. The show has fallen apart. We can't even get the damn microphone turned on for Adam Hickman. That's fantastic. That's what you want to see. That is what they call, ladies and gentlemen, in the business, a tone setter. Off and running this afternoon, Fan Run Radio. Oh, man, what a beautiful day. You wake up the morning to the news that Fulke is making it official. The roster for Rick Barnes pretty much set. They're penciling.
Is it?
Yeah, we're penciling. I'm penciling Tomba in. So far, all the pencil ins have come to fruition. We penciled Fulke in. He's back. Now I'm penciling Tomba in.
I've got to be honest, Russ. I don't like the way some of you guys have been.
Okay. You can not like it. I mean, I'm penciling him in. I don't want you.
Like, he's doing some kind of, he's a 7-foot local kid, okay. And you guys are like doing some
no,
kind
no,
of.
No,
favor.
No. We're not doing this again. Stop.
You're the one who brought it up.
We're penciling Tomba in. You could go do the. You go find the altar boys and do the Catholic thing. We're not doing the Catholic thing today because we got Vandy in town. This is a huge baseball weekend. Logan Quinton, who's been doing a great job covering Tennessee baseball for FanRunRadio.com, is going to join us here in just a few minutes to talk baseball. Mark Nagy is on the show today. Yeah, I'm penciling Tomba in and then one spot on hold going into next year in case something pops up. And we'll go ahead and throw out your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question this afternoon. What should the expectations be for Tennessee basketball next year? And we're all going to go on record and say, obviously this team should make the NCAA tournament. And obviously they should get out of the first round, right? If we lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament with this roster, it's going to be a major disappointment.
Oh, there's going to be trouble. For sure.
So, you get four choices on the Twitter poll. So, what should the expectations be? Round of 32, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four.
This team next year?
Yeah.
Sweet 16, maybe Elite Eight. I think that's asking an awful lot for a completely flipped roster, and we're going to be relying on a number of young guys.
See, I agree with that to an extent. But also, something has stuck with me that Christopher Gabriel said on the show last week, and I'm going to try and take this to heart.
Okay.
You're setting the expectations too low around here. That's part of the problem. We have the potential to go to Final Fours here. I think we would all agree with that. And I'm not just talking about lucking into a Final Four like Mississippi State did in 1996. I'm talking about legitimately, we got a great team. We're going to go to a Final Four, and it might not be the last one, right?
Right.
That should be the goal.
Sure.
That should be the goal. Let's say it out loud.
It's
that
an admirable goal to have, Russell.
That doesn't mean if we fall a little bit short that we're calling for Rick Barnes's head, pulling our hair out, going crazy. But put it on paper, man. Put it on wax. That is the goal. We've got what? How many guys that are NBA potential dudes?
We've got the number two recruiting class in the country as of today.
There's going to be at least two, if not three or four guys off this roster next year play in the NBA. And pretty much all of them, 9 or 10 of them, are at least going to be able to make money playing overseas in the G League, stuff like that, right?
Sure.
Let's set the goals high. Let's say it, man. We want to win a national championship.
We do. All I'm saying is we got to temper it with realistic.
I'm through
temper. You got to be realistic.
It is realistic, right? You just said it. It is realistic.
I mean,
this
it is, but I mean, it's not Final Four. I mean, you're setting yourself up, man. Were you going to have a complete meltdown if we don't make the Final Four next year?
No, that's what I just said.
I think Elite Eight would be incredible. I mean, we've only been to the Elite Eight once in the history of our program.
I'd be satisfied with an Elite Eight. The goal.
I'd be satisfied with an Elite Eight.
The goal should be a Final Four.
Agreed.
That's my goal.
Cautiously optimistic.
That's my expectation. And I'll just say it. That's my expectation. I expect to go to the Final Four. I mean, I expect to have several million dollars in the bank when I retire. That's what I'm shooting for. It's the goal. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But if I come up a little bit short of the goal, like as long as the goal is high, I should be okay, right?
Should be. One would think, yes, you should be all right, Russell.
Can I live with you if I'm not?
No.
Gonna be doing this forever.
How long would we last in the same house?
That's a good point.
And we barely make it 3 hours a day here.
A lot of buzz on the interwebs this afternoon about Tony Vitello and the baseball Vols. The series starts at 7 tonight. We're less than 4 hours away from Tennessee and Vanderbilt over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. They're going to have about 50% capacity. They've brought in some extra bleachers. You heard Tony Vitello talk about this on the show last night. He is bringing in extra seats to accommodate the people. They're raising the capacity anyway, and it is still a hot ticket. You're going to have about 3,000 over there in Lindsey Nelson this evening for the Vols and Commodores. How worried are we as Tennessee continues its ascension under Tony Vitello, and you see some traditional powers in college baseball like LSU and Texas A&M struggling, to quote the great Joe Namath, I'm struggling. How worried are we that they're going to come after our boy?
They had to find their own Kool-Aid. They're
going to come after our guy. You worried, Bear?
I mean, yeah, simply because Texas A&M has deep, deep Texas oil pockets.
You have to be worried, don't you? You saw what they did with Jimbo.
Yeah, but I think what it boils down to is I really think at the end of the day that the most likely thing that will end up happening is Texas A&M will force Tennessee into paying premium a little bit more than they probably would have. But I really think that Randy Boyd will get the deal done and keep coach here.
Well, I got a couple of thoughts on that. I think ultimately this is going to come down to trust. Specifically, how much does Tony Vitello trust Randy Boyd and Danny White. Because I think they will give him a big raise this offseason. I think that's the relatively easy thing to do. And I said before, I don't think it's necessarily about the money for Tony Vitello. I think that he's earned a raise, certainly a big raise. He makes, I want to say, $625, something like that right now. He's earned the chance to be a millionaire.
I mean, what are we, number four? We're number four in the nation right now?
Yeah, depending on where you look at. We're like number three in the RPI, which is the number that he always cites.
Yeah, I feel like he should be compensated as such.
And I think he will. I think the thing that he's concerned about is, A, money for his staff. Again, I think that's relatively easy to do, to bump those guys up a little bit. But I think what it's really going to come down to with him is the plan for Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And this is where it gets a little bit dicey, because Danny White's new here. Randy Boyd has got his stadium for the Smokies that he's building downtown, or hopes to be building downtown soon. And so they can – they're going to sit down, and Tony's got these big ideas that he's going to pitch them. And I'm sure that Danny White and Randy Boyd, in an ideal world, would snap their fingers and voila, it's done. But as we all know, that's – it's not an ideal world right now. You've had massive revenue losses due to COVID-19 and the revenue loss from football last year, and that affects everything. Now, you still see these coaches getting big raises, schools spending big, so the money situation, I don't think it's as tight as they've led us to believe.
No, it's not.
But it's still, you can't lose, you can't sell the ticket, have the ticket sales that they had for football last year and basketball and not feel it somewhere eventually. So I do think that there is a little bit of a pinch. And you talk about Lindsey Nelson Stadium. What are we talking about? I think they could probably say, look, we can go ahead and build a new press box with some luxury suites and stuff like that. We can go ahead and get that done. Maybe give the entrance to the stadium a facelift, make it look a little bit nicer. That's something that you heard Chris Burke talk about being a big problem in recruiting. We could probably do that pretty quickly. But what is the plan long-term over the next 5 or 6 years? We don't necessarily have to go to 10,000 seats this offseason, right? I mean, the capacity is fine where it is. You need more luxury seating so that you can turn baseball into a revenue producer. You need a real press box so that people will actually come and cover your games. And you need some window dressing, some curb appeal, if you will, around the entrance to the stadium so that you can actually bring recruits in the front door, which, according to Chris Burke, is something that Tony Vitello has been hesitant to do because of the disparity between the way our stadium looks and the way other top stadiums look right in this country. But what is the long-term plan? Like, if when we do go to a 10,000-seat stadium, what's that going to look like, and how quickly can you get that done? And that's not something that Danny White or Randy Boyd is going to be able to tell Tony, look, this is exactly what we're going to do. They can make a plan. This is what we hope to do. If this, this, and this fall in line, this is what we can do. And I think for at the end of the day, Tony Vitello is going to have to ask himself, how much do I trust these guys? Will they be able to follow through on what they're telling me? They've already given me the money. They've given my staff the money. That's the easy part. But are they going to be able to bring this facility up to par with some of the things that are going on in the SEC West? And if the answer to that question is yes, I do trust these guys, then I can see him sticking around. He's worked really hard for 4 years now to just walk away and pull a Kevin O'Neill, not see the fruits of his labor. But if the answer is no, or I don't know, I don't know. I mean, Danny White's a new guy. I don't know him that well. Randy Boyd's got his own baseball stadium that he's building downtown. Maybe he doesn't want to compete with me for a baseball dollar. If there's any hesitation there, then he might take the LSU or Texas A&M job because, A, they can just throw all the money that we're going to throw at him, and, B, they've already got the facility built. Like, he doesn't have to pitch anybody because it's already there.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's a conundrum we find ourselves in.
I mean, that's the question. To me, it's going to come down to how much does Vitello trust UT, the power structure over there.
Well, they've got to sell him because I really think they've caught lightning in a bottle. It hasn't happened often here at Tennessee in any sport. You can't let this guy go.
No, they're certainly a level of excitement around baseball right now that just isn't there, and certainly football and even basketball is as fired up as people are. I think at least for me, I don't know. Maybe,
right.
We ran the poll earlier. I feel much more confident talking Tennessee baseball after we did, 66% of the audience says they're very excited about it, and like 30% said they're a little bit excited about it. I think people are on board this thing, and we certainly are here on The Drive. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. More Tennessee baseball talk on the way on a huge Friday afternoon edition of the show. Keep it tuned right here to Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire back with you. Pleased to be joined by Logan Quinton, our very own. FanRunRadio.com does a fantastic job writing about UT baseball over there. Logan, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
How's it going, fellas?
Hey, man, it's going well. You excited about tonight?
A little bit.
So how much, like, you've been following UT baseball for a while. Like, you didn't just jump on the bandwagon, right? I mean, this is something that you've been chronicling, Tony Vitello's ascension and Tennessee baseball and everything. So this is, you're not like me and Bear where it's just all of a sudden, like, you've been following it from a distance, but like now you're jumping on with both feet, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've been tuned into what Tony V has been doing the past few years. But you know, you bring up, you know, your age, Bear's age, you guys can speak to the teams of the '90s. Like, you can speak to Todd Helton and Chris Freeman, you know, over with the boys on the Blitz. We're struggling to find a comparison in our lifetime. I mean, this is pretty historic what's going on here, and I think it spans all generations. I know as a kid, those teams were fun to watch, talking about Todd Helton and those Chris Freeman teams. Of course, the 0-1 team. But, I mean, this seems a bit different. It seems like we're headed in a new direction. But, yes, for comparison's sake, this is a historic matchup for sure.
Well, it's the school's best start in 50 years, if that gives you any indication. And they went to three College World Series between 1995 and 2006. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think if this team is going to be remembered as an elite team in school history, then they have to go to Omaha, because that's been done three times. And obviously that is very difficult to do, and nothing is set in stone there. But, I mean, to me, I feel like this team has a certain vibe, a 95 vibe. The 01 and 06 teams were fun, and everybody jumped on the bandwagon. It was fun to watch. But there was something about the Todd Helton team in 95 when, I mean, there were times over there, Logan, when it was just an absolute madhouse at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And it feels like that's the kind of environment that we're going to see, even with the reduced capacity tonight against Vanderbilt.
I think so, yeah. And it's a shame that we haven't gotten to experience that yet this year, but even with, like, I don't know what the capacity was before, half or less, I don't know, but I've been there several times, and with the legends of Lindsey Nelson and everybody else that's there, it's been a really good atmosphere, all things considered.
Oh, I felt like watching their game, I can't remember, I think it was the Saturday night game when Tennessee came back and hit, they scored all their runs in the bottom of the sixth, right? Whether they score three or four against Florida in the bottom of the sixth, and Florida just could not find the plate, and they walked in a run and just had several walks in a row. It felt like a riot was about to break out down there, Logan, with the students were on their pitchers, and the guy went nuts. Everybody saw the clip of him throwing his glove in the dugout. It felt like the crowd basically willed Tennessee to win that game.
Oh, absolutely. I think in terms of win shares, the legends are probably worth two or three. I mean, if you think about all the clutch situations that the Vols have been in, and I can attest, just about every time I've been this year, and I've been to a handful, first baseman has made an error. I mean, Trey Morgan, great first baseman for LSU, he made an egregious error on a pop-up to shallow right, totally missed the ball. The Florida first baseman, he was making gestures at the legends. I mean, at that point, once you lock eyes or make a smile, make a gesture, whatever the case, I mean, you're done at that point. Like, you have made a connection with them. And I think it depending on the type of player you are, I think it can get in your head a little bit. And without a doubt, they have had an impact for sure.
Yeah, those guys go hard, man. I followed their Twitter account. They're already going hard at Vandy online. People are mad online, Logan. Right now, the series hasn't even started. I don't know if you've been following any of that. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, I catch it a little bit. Yeah, they go full on research in terms of social media, whatever social media platform you have as a player, even the coaches, first base coach, the whole nine yards. They're digging for girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, little slip-ups you've made on social media. I mean, you have to really be buttoned up for them not to find something. And even if they don't find anything, they're going to let you know about something. They're going to give you the business one way or the other.
All right, so Tennessee has been very good. Obviously, they've won every SEC series so far, ranked in the top five in the country. But it goes to another level tonight when you're talking about Kumar Rocker on the mound, Jack Leiter tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be a different level of pitching that these guys, I mean, these dudes are going to be two of the top picks in this year's Major League Baseball draft. What should be, what's the expectation? Define success for Tennessee this weekend against Vandy, Logan.
Winning the series, and I think it's totally reasonable. Everyone knows about Leiter and Rocker. But Rocker's coming off of a little bit of a rough start against Georgia, and I think that opens things up for Tennessee because of the approach that the Bulldogs took to get to Rocker. The Georgia coaching staff said, hey, look, like, his slider's untouchable, so let's just lay off of it. Let's just put our bats on our shoulders and work the counts. And that it made a situation where Rocker had to challenge some guys with some pitches, and they turned on some of it. Three home runs in that game, in that loss to Georgia last week. And prior to that, he had only given up two his whole career. Tennessee is a patient lineup. They take an approach to the plate where they're going to work counts. They're going to get walks. So I think it bodes well for Tennessee. Now, Vandy knows that. Rocker knows that going in. So I think we're going to see a chess match here. But I think whoever wins tonight, I think, takes the series. And It's totally reasonable, and I can't count Vitello out. He's got those boys locked in and confident,
yeah,
and they buy into the approach on both sides, whether it's at the plate or on the mound. They really buy into that, and how can you doubt them at this point? They're one of only two teams, them and Arkansas, have yet to drop a series in the conference. So until they prove otherwise, I totally think they can get this series.
Well, and obviously Georgia jumped on Rocker in the first last weekend, and I don't know if that – I mean, that obviously that would be great for Tennessee to do tonight. But if they don't, and keep going back to that Saturday game against Florida, and you mentioned how patient this team is at the plate, just make them throw pitches, you know, make them throw pitches and try and get into that bullpen. And that might take into the later third of the ball game. But if Tennessee can keep it close and hang around – in that situation, once in college baseball, you know how it is, Logan. Once you get into a team's bullpen, all bets are off, and including Tennessee's. Oh, yeah. I mean, anything can happen at that point. So I just think it's one of those things where you have to keep that in mind if Rocker is on. And I'm kind of guessing he bounces back because last weekend was an anomaly based off what he showed. But if he does bounce back, you just got to hang in there and get him. You can't let him go complete game on you. Get him out of that game and see what you can do against the bullpen, right?
Right, absolutely. I think it's going to be tight either way. And look, Tennessee's not foreign to this type of pitching. Absolutely, Leiter and Rocker are heads and shoulders above everyone else. But Tennessee is faced a few pitchers this year that are outstanding that are right behind them in class. Speaking of Jeremy Guerrero from Indiana State, Tyler Owens from Georgia Southern, Landon Marceau, who pitched last night and shut the Gamecocks out. Tennessee handled all those guys, and those guys have something in common with Leiter and Rocker. That's five names right there together. That's five of just 15 pitchers who have logged over 40 innings and held less than a 2 ERA. So it's not like this is totally foreign to Tennessee. They know how to work good pitching. So I think they have as good a chance as anybody, really, other than maybe Arkansas, to get after these guys.
You know, it's a fun thing to think about when you look at this Tennessee lineup, Logan, is there is not, we mentioned the 95 team, there's not a Todd Helton on this team, right? There's not a Luke Hochaver on staff, although we'll see. You know, Tidwell looks like an intriguing prospect, but there's not a name that it's a bunch of scrappy dudes. And we've got a bunch of very good players. I'm not trying to put them all down like they're all scrubs. Liam Spence is having a terrific season. Max Ferguson is a really nice player. Rucker and obviously Drew Gilbert. There's a scrappy bunch, man. You can't give this team anything, because if you make a mistake, they'll make you pay pretty much 100% of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, the lineup, it doesn't wow you. When you look at the stat sheet, you're like, what are they doing at the bottom of the conference in batting average? But it's a different approach, and it's like death by a thousand paper cuts if you're the opposition. Because like you said, you have to be totally dialed in. You can't make a mistake, and you can't walk guys. You can't get these guys on base. Tennessee steals bases more than most of the league, and that's part, like you mentioned, Max Ferguson. He walks a ton. When he gets on base, he's going to steal a base, you know? So it's they kind of get these built-in hidden runs and bases, and before you know it, you know, you got a couple on, and Drew Gilbert's at bat, and that's a three-run situation right there in some cases. So, yeah, you can't sleep on this lineup regardless of, you know, the slugging percentage or anything like that. This is a really good lineup, and it starts with Liam Spence. He keeps the order turning, and he plays a huge part.
Talk with Logan Quinton, because great job of covering UT baseball for our website, fanrunradio.com. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at LDQSports. Logan, we were talking before you came on about Tony Vitello, and as he continues to do such a great job, he's generating some buzz around the country. There are a couple of big-time SEC jobs that might be coming open at the end of the year. How worried, in your opinion, should Tennessee fans be that somebody might make Tony Vitello an offer he can't refuse?
I wouldn't be too worried. This is a no-brainer here. I think with Danny White coming in, he's just going to hit layups to start off, and this is one you can't miss. Like this, Tony V is pretty fly for a white guy, from what I hear. You know, I'm telling you, he's the dude. He is the match for Rocky Top, and he's going to ask for some stuff. I mean, there's some in terms of stadium and facility stuff. You know, you got to give it to him and give him what he wants and just go to bed and sleep well at night. I wouldn't be too concerned at all. And who knows, if Tennessee can beat the Commodores this weekend, take the series, Georgia's coach got extended for doing the exact same thing. They just extended him.
That might be the play, right? I mean, we're talking about this in terms
if he comes out and wins a series.
Well, at some point soon, we're talking about this, at the end of the season, they're going to have to talk and all this stuff. It would be a big statement to go ahead and get him locked in. Like, can you go ahead and say, all right, we're going to go ahead and bump you up and make you a million-dollar-a-year guy and for just rip up your contract and give you a fat new 5 or 6 year deal? That would be pretty cool.
I don't see why we can't. I mean, we gave that, you know, I'll say it. We gave Gump a huge extension at the beginning of last year for nothing. Absolutely nothing. And this guy's, you know, spent 4 years working hard building a program.
I agree with you guys, but I'm just telling you, you can't compare football to basketball. It's apples to oranges.
Oh, no, but you can.
Yeah, one's
a competent
coach, one's a moron.
You can bump the guy up to like 800,000 instead of 500,000 or something. Like,
give him a million.
Something's got to And it does, you don't have to wait till the end of the year. Yeah, if things start to kind of swing back and forth here, because it is the SEC. I mean, it's such a tough league. LSU and Georgia, teams like that. Alabama looked so bad a couple of weeks ago. And those teams, nobody is going to want to play those teams come tournament time because they're on the upswing. It can be the opposite for the Vols. So I could see a scenario where kind of you go back and forth. You know, they drop down a notch. And, you know, but if you've already got all the momentum in the world, if you beat the Commodores, take two or three, and you're the number one team in the nation or number two in the nation come next week. I mean, it worked for Scott Strickland and the Bulldogs. You know, he got extended to 2026 after beating the Commodores over the weekend. So we'll see what happens.
Well, here's the question from the others. If you're Tony Vitello, do you go ahead, say – Danny White comes to you with, okay, we're going to go and rip up your deal. You're making whatever it is, $620,000 a year now. We're going to bump you up to $900,000 a year. You're basically at $1 million a year. We're going to go and bump you up for 5 or 6 year deal. If you're Tony V, do you go ahead and sign on the dotted line right now, or do you wait? Do you bet on yourself and say, you know what? I think this team can go to Omaha and I can increase my value and increase my bargaining position. I'm going to wait till the end of the year, see how far I can take this thing, and then really get into you for every dime that I can. I'm not asking you to speak for Tony V, Logan, because obviously nobody knows what's in his head, but I continue to think that he doesn't strike me as the guy that's like, oh, I've got to be the highest paid coach in the league or in baseball or whatever. No. I think he wants a raise. He wants that respect. I think he wants money for his staff and his assistants. But I think the biggest thing for him is what is Tennessee's plan, the university's plan for his stadium, which is, as you know, is woefully behind the upper echelon of schools in this league. And that's a much more difficult question for the university to answer in all this.
You're right. I agree 100%. That is the key. It's not his dollar figure. It's what you can do for his assistant and the program in terms of stadium and facilities. That's going to be the key to all this because I know that he holds his staff in high regard in terms of how they need to be compensated. And that's going to be the big thing. But I think, like I said, with Danny White coming in here, being the new guy, the fresh face, you know, trying to create some momentum, not just with the football program, but you've got this gem of a baseball coach. And, you know, when football's in session and we're doing well, no one cares as much about baseball, but you got to take care of this because it's what you got right now. They're your lead horse and they're going to continue to do this as long as Tony V is at the helm in my mind. So I think that at the end of the day, they get it done. And I don't think Vitello plays a hard hand. I think they're able to get a deal done when it's all said. And it could happen for the season. I really believe that.
Interesting. All right, Logan, last thing before we let you run, I want your official prediction. What happens when we're Sunday evening and we're looking back on this series? What will we be talking about?
We'll be talking about Sunday. I think, like I said, I said it on the Blitz this morning. I'm going to go ahead and predict a Vols victory tonight, 5-4. I'm not sure they get it lighter. That's just a tall task with what they'll have to deal with Saturday. I think they go into Sunday, split series, two freshmen. The freshman for Vandy going up against Blade Tidwell. This dude has been outstanding as a true freshman. I mean, not only can he throw heat, he's actually been pitching, not just throwing the fire hose. He's been pitching, using his breaking ball. That is going to be a tilt. That's going to be a game to watch and a couple of young pitchers to watch, and that's going to be the difference. We'll look back and say this Sunday matchup was outstanding, and it was the difference.
All right. Go follow him on Twitter at LDQSports and be looking for his write-ups this weekend at FanRunRadio.com. Logan Quinton, thanks so much, man. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Logan Quinton making his presence felt this afternoon on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If your loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Call them. ladies and gentlemen. What is their phone number? I had it right in front of me in just a second, just a minute ago. Let me find it again because I don't want to give out the wrong number. That would be bad. Their number is 865-558-8030, 558-8030, and their website is g3helpme.com. Stay with us. The drive continues. Your Ricker Ridge Barbecue smoking hot questions, plural, coming up next.
The Drive.
193 votes cast for the basketball one. What should the expectations be this next season? 36.8% of the audience is going Elite Eight. 31.1% are going Sweet 16. 22.8% saying Final Four. And 9.3% are saying Round of 32. Now, it's very early. Only 61 votes cast in our baseball poll. We just put this up a moment ago. 1% of precincts reporting. 49.2% say Vols win 1. 42.6% say Vols win 2. 8.2% say Vols sweep. And nobody, 0% out of 61 votes, say that Vandy sweeps.
No.
Tennessee fans don't want to hear that.
No. We are not here for that noise. Not going to happen, Russ.
Adam Hickman, what say you? Which one do you want to take first, basketball or baseball?
I'll go baseball first. I just cast my vote. I have Vols winning 2. Vandy sweeps is now up to 3% with 68 votes.
It's an outrage.
For the basketball question, it's got to be an Elite Eight for me. I'll be happy with a Sweet 16. Anything less than that's unacceptable, but ideally I would like to see us play an Elite Eight.
Kind of feel like you guys need to temper your expectations a little bit.
I don't think that's an outrageous statement. I think it's pretty obtainable.
Yeah, really, Bear. I mean, I feel like you're arguing out both sides of your mouth already this afternoon. On one side, you're saying, come on, man, sack up. We're going to win this series against these two guys. We're going to win 2 games, even though we're facing 2 pitchers that are going to be among the top, maybe the top 2 picks in this year's Major League Baseball draft. But on the basketball thing, even though we've got several pros on our own roster, it's like, temper your expectations. Don't get carried away. Come on, man. We have it both ways here. Feel like you're being a little bit inconsistent. It's okay, though. Logan kind of had me fired up. He says that Tennessee very well could win this series. I agree with him. Tonight is the key. I think that Leiter has shown himself to be a better pitcher than Rocker, which is saying something. So I think Tennessee needs to jump on them and win today because Saturday, in my opinion, is going to be the toughest game for Tennessee to win.
Yeah, I mean, Leiter's ERA is like, what, 0.53?
Oh, yeah. They're,
it's sub-zero. Yeah.
And Rocker's was just as good before last weekend.
Yeah, until he got lit up like the 4th of July. But, I mean, his is like a 1 point something.
All right, let's go to these phones here. Who's up first, Bear?
PTR.
PTR, you're on the drive. Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing, gentlemen?
What's up?
Good to hear from you again. Bear, you're just in too good of a mood today. You're playing nice. I don't know if I recognize this.
It's a kinder, gentler Bear.
Anyway, y'all had this conversation. I didn't call in, but I think going into the Florida week, you know, you were talking about what minimum expectations were, you know, for the next 2 series because we knew they were big. Mm-hmm. And I settled on the fact of 3 wins for the 6 games I'd be happy with. That means we would have taken 1 series and not gotten shut out. So I'm sticking with that. So I'm a 1-game vote and hope I'm wrong.
So
for the basketball question, it seems like the 2 big guys we've got coming in are probably in better positions to help the team as opposed to what Springer and Keenan brought to the table. They're more positions of need. So I think that's a help. I think Fulke coming back with that attitude, I mean, he's going to be a coach on the court. He's going to be the glue. There's no question in my mind about that. And if he stays healthy, I could see an 8. But I would be happy with 16.
I feel that. I mean, you go to Sweet 16, you've had yourself a nice season. I just think it's time to shoot the moon, man. I mean, we've been talking about this forever. Let's do this, PTR. Let's go. Let's kick the door down.
I agree with you 100%. My question is, Barnes is Barnes, and he's going to have the guys burned out. We know that. I mean,
Barnes
as
is Barnes.
Good of a player developer as he is, I think he hasn't figured out how to back off a little bit about two-thirds of the season so you can rest some guys and have people emotionally and physically ready. So I don't expect that to change because that's not Barnes' modus operandi. Just to adjust on the curve.
Every time I get fired up about the season, start really thinking about it, somebody says something like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, but, it is Barnes. You know,
and maybe now, I mean, he does have, what, almost a completely new staff. We got two assistants now that we didn't have before that have pretty good reps. You know, maybe they can get through to him. Maybe they've had this conversation. Maybe when he interviewed, he says, hey, I need help with this. But, you know, I need you to do this. This is your primary job, but I need you to speak up. I mean, that could have happened. We don't know. So we can hope for that. So let's drink a toast to that one and hope it happens. You gentlemen have a great day.
Thank you, PTR. I mean, I think it's a good point. Like, he's got to recognize that he's no spring chicken anymore. This past year was testing for all of us. If you didn't ponder your mortality at some point in the past 12 years, I would say you're doing life wrong. But I think that for a guy in his situation, he's got to realize that, okay, what do I want my legacy to be, particularly here at Tennessee? And, yeah, I'm sure for him, he's got great perspective and everything. He's a very religious guy. His family's very important to him. But from a purely basketball perspective, I'm sure he wants to – go back to a Final Four and make another run at a national championship. It's the only thing missing from his personal trophy case.
Just burnish his legacy a little bit on the way out the door. Just put the crown jewel in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the point is, I think that he's got to think, okay, well, if that's a big piece of what I want, I've got everything else figured out. Like, he's got a good life. He's got a clean program, and everybody loves him and everything. Like, that's life is good for Rick Barnes. What's the one thing that's missing? A championship. Okay, how do you get that? Because what you've been doing for the past – you don't have one. You've been a coach forever, and you've been a coach at two really good schools that are capable of winning one. And not only you've not had one, but more often than not, you've been disappointing. When it gets down to it, when it gets to the moment of truth, you flopped. How do you – you can't just say, well, it's just been bad luck every time. No, man, you're doing some things wrong, and – You got to be introspective enough to look in the mirror and say, what can I do differently to get a different outcome? I hope he does that, man, because the knock on him, the rap is, he's stubborn. Mm-hmm. It's his way or the highway. Mm-hmm. He's not embracing the new school analytics stuff. He's not going to play ball with, you know, families that, why is my kid playing? He just doesn't have time for it. And I'm not saying like he needs to start kowtowing to that or whatever, but there are some things, there's obviously things going wrong in the NCAA tournament for Rick Barnes. I hope that he's able to look at it in a different light and say, okay, well, maybe I need to tweak some things here. It doesn't mean he needs to wholesale changes and completely forget who he is and where he's come from and how he's built himself into the coach he is today, but what can you do differently, particularly in March, to get to that next level before it's time to hang it up? Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Adam will have your top four at four when we continue. Right after this, coming back with more of The Drive. Stay with us.